Well, bless you this morning. Really appreciate your patience and taking that time with that survey. But we just really want to focus on the word of the Lord now. Amen? Amen. So let's just bow our heads and pray as we open the word together. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're a gracious God. And Father, that you're always with us, Lord, even as we read, Lord, that you never leave us or forsake us. So Father, we just thank you, Lord, as we're here now. Lord, as we open your word, Lord, that you're going to speak deeply into each of our hearts, Lord. Because, Lord, we want to grow, Lord. We want to become more like Jesus. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves and our heart to you now. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We were blessed last week with Pastor Chris Carmody. We had a great time there, and it was great. Many people got some healings and a real touch from the Lord. And so we just praise God for all that happened last week. And look forward to all that God is doing among us. Praise God. I want to read a verse this morning. This is our passage of scripture I want to look at this morning. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. So let's just read this together. It says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And that's really what I want to speak about this morning, about letting nothing move us as we stand as believers in the body of Christ. Now, this is an interesting passage, which it's obviously written by the Apostle Paul. And it starts off with the words "therefore," which is like it's saying this is like the end of the bracket, the end of the parenthesis. And there's something in between that whole segment of scripture. We're just looking at the last passage, the last verse here, the last closing bracket, if you like. And basically what he's talking about is right at the very beginning, Paul talks about standing firm. He says about the gospel that you have received, and that's on what you stand. And so that's the other end of the bracket, if you like, the parenthesis of this passage that we're looking at this morning. And so the Apostle Paul is talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is fundamental to everything that we are, everything that we believe, and certainly it's the gospel on which that we stand. It won't come up on the screen, but I just want to read the earlier verses from 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and which you have taken, or which you have received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you've believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." And that's the heart of the gospel, that Jesus Christ, he died on the cross. He died in our place of our sins. Jesus died for us in our place, took upon him the punishment that we deserve, that he was buried. We know that he was in the tomb for 3 days. On the third day that we know that he rose again. And it goes on, this rest of this passage begins to talk about all the witnesses that saw the resurrected Christ, even more than 500 people on one occasion alone. And the passage goes on to talk about the resurrection, the hope that we have, that we know that Jesus Christ is coming back again, that if we die, we're not going to miss out, we're going to be resurrected and meet those in the air that have been called, who's still alive at that time. And talks about our heavenly body, what our body will look like. It won't look like the body you got now. And we all said, amen. Amen. I said aloud, amen. Some of you are not so sure. Well, there you go. But we will have that new resurrected body. But I want to talk about this passage particularly, and 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, so we know what it's there for. Therefore, based on the gospel, based on that foundation, on what you've placed your life, on the basis of the gospel of Jesus Christ, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I want to talk about the first part of this. It talks about us being brothers and sisters, dear brothers and sisters. And there's something about being a part of family. And we all have our natural families, but there's something about being part of this family, the family together that we're in. Now, we know that we're brothers and sisters with every believer across the nations and across time, that they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. Whether they've done a survey or not, if their life is founded on Jesus Christ, they're our brothers and sisters. But the Lord actually puts us in a family, and there's something very important about being in a church family, about being connected with one another and growing and learning together about the things of God. And straight away, Paul reminds us on that. Based on the foundation that we have in Jesus Christ, that we are also brothers and sisters. Hebrews 2:11, it says this: "Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy," that's you and me, of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. And so we're related to the heavenly family. We're related to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're related. We're children of God because of Jesus Christ. We're related. But we're also related to one another. We're joined together. We're family. We belong to one another. We're a part of one another. And it's because of Jesus Christ that we are family together. It's so important. 1 Peter 2:17 talks about loving the family of believers. And so important that you have that heart of loving your family, the family that God has put us in, that we love one another. And Paul reminds us of that right at the beginning. Now, brothers and sisters, he reminds us who we are, that we are related to one another, that we're brothers, that we're sisters, that we're joined together because of the foundation of Jesus Christ. There's that oneness that we have, and it's so precious, something that we need to guard. Something that we need to honor, something we need to fight for, something we need to protect, something that's so important that we stand together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. But then he goes on about being unmovable, and we've got a lot of time this morning, but I want to talk about this part about being unmovable, letting nothing move you. He says, stand firm, let nothing move you. So what are you standing on? Well, we're standing on the reality of Jesus Christ. We're standing on the person of Christ, the rock, the immovable rock of Jesus Christ. And when we become a Christian, when we give our heart to Christ, we're planting our foot on Jesus, say, Lord, I belong to you, and my life is now founded and rooted in Jesus Christ. And on this rock I stand, and I'm not going to be moved, and I'm not going to be shaken. And that's the commitment that we make when we become a Christian. We say, no, my life now is not my own life. It doesn't belong to me. I gave my life to Christ, and now my life is centered on Jesus Christ. I'm on that rock of Jesus Christ. So it talks about standing firm. And the scripture says, let nothing move you. Now, whenever the scripture talks about letting, it means, or allowing, it means something is within our control. And in fact, it says, let nothing move you, it actually indicates that we are actually movable. If the scripture says, don't let anything move you, it means that there is the possibility that you can be moved, that you can move. And sometimes people, in the framework of where their life is and where the things of God are and where their life is now, they look at that and maybe they've moved. And my question to you this morning is, have you moved at all? Have you moved at all from that foundation, the things that God placed within your heart, that when you became a Christian, the values of the kingdom of God, what is important in the life of the kingdom that you founded your life on, have you moved from that? Because we can be movable, and the scripture says, let nothing move us. It tells us that this is within our control, whether we move or not. And if you've moved, and there's that old saying, it goes that if you've moved, guess who moved? Because God ain't going anywhere. He's always there. He's always with us. But if we find ourselves drifting, becoming worldly in our values, worldly in our time commitments, worldly in our thought life, worldly in what we do, then it's us who moves. God never moves. He's the immovable one. He's solid. He's always there, always constant, always consistent. And so let nothing move you. And so it's within the realm of our choice, and it's also within the realm of our ability. God never asks you to do anything that you cannot do, that's impossible for you to do. Now, he asks us to do things that are in our own strength that are impossible, but with the power of the Holy Spirit within our life, we can do that, and we can be more than successful at it. We can blossom, we can prosper, we can thrive because of what the Lord has placed within our life. So let nothing move you. Make the decision, I'm not going to allow anything to move me from what I know is right in God and from the position and from the values of the kingdom that have been instilled in my heart when I first received the gospel, the priority of the kingdom of God that I found in my life. And I'm not going to let anything move me from that place, not let anything move me from that position. But what are some of the things that can move us? Well, there's a couple of different things. There's some push factors that can try to push us, and there's some pull factors that can try to move us from that place, from that position where we've planted our feet. Some of the things that try to push us are the circumstances of life. And things happen in life to every one of us. None of us are immune to that. There are circumstances that come against us, come upon us in ways that we never imagined or ever anticipated. And neither did we necessarily contribute to that thing happen. It just happens to us. And there's these circumstances that come against us, and they try to push us out of that firm position, make us to go into a place of compromise and maybe do things a little differently than we really know better than that. And these pressures of circumstances that come and hit us, and affect our lives. We've all had things in our life that have come against us. Where did that come from? Out of left field, unexpected things that come and try to push us around, pressures that come against us that think, where does all this pressure coming from? And it's something that's trying to make you move and teeter from this position where your feet are solidly, firmly on that rock of Jesus Christ. And maybe it's words that are spoken, maybe things that people have said to you that have come against you, and you feel the words that they've said that are like those words that have been spoken, as if those words themselves are trying to cut the very ground from under our feet. And so there are things that can try to push us, but then there's things that can try to pull us away from the place on which we stand as well. The things that happen, and again, and this is an area of your control, your emotions are actually under your control. Did you understand that? Do we understand that? That our emotions, we can actually control them. Now, we feel the way that we feel. If something impacts us, it hurts me, I'll get hurt. If something upsets me, I'll get upset. But then there's that realm of self-control that is the realm of every believer, that we've been filled with the Spirit of God, that we can have control. And so how do I respond to the circumstances of my life? Do I allow the emotions to pull me down from that position where I've put my feet upon that rock? Because I'm having a hard time because of the pressure, because of the circumstances. Am I allowing my own emotions to pull me away, to pull me away from that position where the Lord has firmly placed me? And we can do that. But that's something the Lord says, don't let that. Don't let your emotions be the thing that leads you. Don't let the emotions be the thing that pulls you away from what you know is right, from being founded and rooted in Jesus Christ and walking in the values of the kingdom. Don't allow your own emotions to pull you away from that. What about temptations? In another area where the enemy can try to come and entice us and tempt you into the realm of compromise to pull you away. And on every one of us, doesn't matter who we are, there is always the enticement of the enemy trying to say, come on, just doesn't matter, does it? It's okay. Look, you're tired. You've had a hard time. You're busy. You're this, you're that. And just trying to pull us away to a place of compromise. The enemy will do that. Those temptations that will come trying to move us from that place. And whether we yield to temptation or whether we yield to compromise, again, it's our choice. As it said, James says, don't think God's testing you. You can't say, oh, God tested me, he tempted me. No, he didn't. The devil came and you allowed sin to be conceived in your heart, and then you actually went ahead and you walked in that place of compromise. And the Lord is saying, don't let anything move us. Don't be moved from that position that you have in your life. Don't let subtle temptations cause you to compromise against what you know is right. You know this is right. You know this is what God has placed me. I know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. I know that the life I want to live for his glory, and I'm not going to be moved from that, whether it's pressure or circumstances. And we make that choice. We make that choice. And so easy to be the victim. And the thing about the victim is it was everyone else's fault. And if they had, if they did, and it's the big blame game. And we can use that as an excuse to come off from that position, to be pulled away from the things of God. We need to all take responsibility. That scripture says that each of you must carry our own load. It says carry each other's burdens, and so we care and look after one another. But the load of our faith, of who we stand in, we've got to carry that ourselves. And we can't use blame, and because it's within our control. It's within our control. It says, let nothing move you. And as I said, the scripture doesn't tell us to do stuff that you cannot do. With the power of the Holy Spirit, you are immovable. Our feet are standing firmly on the rock of Jesus Christ. And we will not be moved. And we will not shake. And we will not give in. And we will not compromise against what we know is right. And make that stand in the things of God. And so we don't allow that. Psalm 112 verse 7 says, they will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. That's the kind of people that we are. We're not afraid about tomorrow. We're not afraid about whatever the election happens in America. We're not afraid about stock markets. We're not afraid about circumstances of what's happening in the workplace. And no, we trust in the Lord. We had a wonderful testimony in Diggers Rest last week about someone. There was 9 people, and they were going to, half of them were losing their job. He was the last one on. Normally the last one on is the first one off, but he was really praying and God really protected him. And trusting in God, he testified how he still got his job, and we praise God for that. So we're not fearful of bad news. Don't be afraid about that, because we're trusting in God. Our feet are firmly on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let anyone or anything move you. Make the decision because it's within your control. You can make that decision, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you're not going to give in, you're not going to compromise, you're not going to become worldly in your ways, to be unmovable. And the scripture goes on, it says, let nothing move you. And then it says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Again, that's that always word. I spoke about the always factor a few weeks ago about, you know, always loving, always hoping, always having faith. And this is another one of these always words. It says, always. Always is without exception. Always is without excuse. Always is all times in every way. Always, always, always give yourself fully, excuse me, to the work of the Lord. And so if we're going to always give myself to something, always means not just when it's convenient for me, not always when it suits my schedule. And there's a lot of things that impact our life and even as a family that aren't always convenient. And we have to maybe move some things and shuffle some things around at times because we always, always want to be able to serve the Lord. So it's not just when it's convenient am I going to serve the Lord. Not only when, oh, there's no one else to do it, okay, I'll do it then reluctantly. That's not the heart that this scripture is talking about. Because it's talking about if we have a revelation of the gospel, if we have a revelation of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, that is transforming to every part of our life, every moment of every breath, every heartbeat is being transformed with the knowledge that I am saved, I am redeemed, I am a son and daughter of the Most High God. And therefore, the rest of my life is lived in accordance with that knowledge and the way that I outwork my life. And so there's an always, that I'll always serve the Lord, always give yourself fully. And if you're going to give yourself, you don't give yourself, you give yourself, it's something that you do willingly. And it's a submission in it, a submissive heart. There's an obedience in that. Jesus gave himself willingly when he went to the cross. It wasn't begrudgingly, it wasn't with gritted teeth, and I'll die for these sinners, these sinners. No. It was willingly out of the love and the grace and the compassion that he had for us that Jesus went to the cross. And so give yourself fully to give yourself. It talks about sacrifice. Whenever you give yourself, you're making sacrifices. Remember, Jesus gave himself for us on the cross. He gave everything. The ultimate sacrifice was when Jesus died on the cross. And on the basis of that, everything else in our lives comes to this place and this point saying, therefore, because of that, because of the cross, I'm always going to give myself fully, always willingly, always, always willingly serve the Lord, always giving ourselves fully. Fully is not half-hearted. It's not half there. It's not half-time. It's not occasional. It's not when I feel like. It's not a maybe. If, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure. It's not on the fence. It's not a fence sitter. It's fully. I'm all in, and it's that all-in heart. And that's because of the cross. I'm all in because of what Jesus has done for me. I'm all in. I want to serve him with every part of my being, with every fiber of my being. Because of what Jesus has done for me, I'm all in. And I'm not going to make excuses why I'm not all in. I'm going to be all in, and I'm going to make that decision and make that choice to serve God with a whole heart. And that's the heart that Paul is encouraging us and stirring us in, that we say, yes, yeah, I'm an all in. I'm going to be all in everything that God has for us. 2 Corinthians 25:1 and 2 speaks of the king Uzziah, and it's a sad scripture. It says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. I mean, whoa, but not wholeheartedly. Did what was right, did some really good stuff, but not wholeheartedly. That's sad. To me, that's sad, you know, that he did some good things, but he wasn't wholehearted in his devotion. Wasn't wholehearted about it, sort of half-hearted. Yeah, okay, all right, if I have to, all right, okay, if I can fit in, all right. Did some good things, and they were some right things to do, but the underlying heart wasn't there. And the scripture is, for always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. He was half-hearted in what he did. And so what is the work of the Lord? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to give ourselves to? Remember, you gave your life to Christ. Always remember that. Remember, your life is not yours. And yourself, you may want to do a whole lot of stuff. You may want to do a lot of things that fill yourself, meet your own human needs, and a whole lot of things that you could do. But you give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? Well, I think it's two main things when we talk about the work of the Lord. Now, obviously, as believers, everything that we do is unto the Lord. It tells us in Colossians 3, it says, whatever you do, whatever it is, you do it as unto the Lord. So in my workplace, if you're at work, you're not working for your boss and you're just not working for a buck. You're working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so you give it the very best that you have. If you're a student, you're not trying to please the teacher. You're doing your very best because ultimately you want to do it for the Lord. You want to do the very best that you can to bring him honor. And so whatever we do, whether it's at home looking after the children and all of the things that we do, we're doing that unto the Lord. That's the heart of a Christian, of a believer, that everything that we do, we give unto God. And that's our heart to do those things. But what is the work of the Lord? Now, because all of those things unbelievers do. Our believers have jobs, which is just as well, because the economy will grind at a halt. We need more believers, amen? Unbelievers look after their families. They do. Otherwise, we'd have a lot of kids roaming the streets, more so than we have at the moment. So all of those things are good things. When we do them with a different motivation. We do it because we want to honor God with every part of our life. But it talks about the works of the Lord. What are the works of the Lord as opposed to the normal works that I have to do as just being a person, just being a father or a mother or being an employee or a worker or a neighbor or a friend? What is the work of the Lord? Well, the scripture tells us in Ephesians 4:12, it talks about the ministry gifts and it says to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And so this Christian service is one of the areas, one of the two areas. First area is Christian service and that we always give ourselves fully to Christian service. And I'm really, I praise God for this church. You know, if I look down and see the people that are involved in serving in different areas, I'm in awe at the number of people that are involved in serving. You know, more than half, nearly 60% of the church are actually involved in serving in some way in the church. I praise God for that. I want to see that increase all the more. But I praise God for those that are serving, that are on rosters, who turn up when they're on the roster, who work hard, who honor that, who serve the Lord in a wonderful way. And it's important that we are all serving God in practical ways and certain ways. We serve within the house, but also outside the house as well. We can serve others with the love of Christ. But to be involved in works of service and ones which build up the body of Christ. And so that's something that the Lord requires of us, all of us, to always give ourselves fully to. And so you're making the cappuccinos, and those ladies are brilliant on cappuccinos. I don't drink cappuccino, I know, forgive me. But for those who like the cappuccinos, those ladies do a great cappuccino from what I'm told. They do a great job. They're in there. You see John Grubisek doing the lawns there. Hail, rain, shine, snow. Not that we have much snow here. We don't have any. But he's there and he does that. He does a great passionate job. See people at the working bees that we have who come and are in there and are serving God with a whole heart. These things are wonderful and really important that we're all involved in serving the Lord. That's our heart that we want to serve him. Well, what is the other area? What is the other work of the Lord that I'm going to give myself fully to? Not occasionally, not when I feel like it, not when it's convenient, not when it's this or that, but what am I going to give myself fully to? And this Jesus says in John 6:29, this is what he says. Jesus answered, he said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And our theme this year has been the invitation. And it's something that we want to give ourselves fully to, that we see people coming into relationship with Jesus Christ. Always give ourselves to that, that we want to see people in the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. We want people to know salvation, because here we are, we're at the other end of the bracket here, how we're living our life. But the other part is the gospel at the beginning, and that we want to see people come to believe in the one he has sent, which is, of course, Jesus Christ. And something that we want to give ourselves fully to. And because we've been saved, that's why we want to do it. Not because you heard it in a message, not because we had a seminar on how to share our faith, which we've done all those things, but because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has changed my life, which transformed me, which is the difference in my life. Because of that, I'm going to be standing on the rock. I'm not going to let anything move me. I'm not going to be shaken, but I'm going to have a heart and I'm going to serve the kingdom of God to build up the body of Christ, but also have a heart to see others come into the kingdom of God. And if you've moved from that position, then get back. If you find that you're not doing that, or that's not you, then maybe it's because you've allowed pressures to push you off, or maybe temptations have compromised. Oh, it's okay, you're tired, you've had a busy day. You've allowed other things to move you from that situation, from that position. If that's the case, make the decision, say, no, I'm going to get back. I'm going to get back. I'm going to give myself fully to the work of the Lord. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. And I trust that you mean that amen. So telling people the good news, we give ourselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there's a passion about that. So people that you know, that you know what will happen to them if they don't find Christ. You know that. You don't even have to tell them that. You know that well enough. You need to tell them, and we need to tell them. We need to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ, about the gospel, about that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, and that he was rose again, and that we have that promise of eternal life because of Jesus Christ. So we are all in our life. So therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always, always, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And why? It says, because you know that your labor is not in vain. And so the things that I do actually count. The things that you do actually make a difference. You think, well, what does it make a difference whether, you know, look, I was on the coffee roster, I didn't turn up, and hopefully someone else did it, and that doesn't... Of course it can. Those things count. Everything counts. Scripture says if you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful in the big things. If you're unfaithful in little things, you'll be unfaithful in big things. Things count. God, everything counts. Everything that you do, every contribution that we make in the kingdom of God counts. Everything counts. It does. It says your labor is not in vain. If something's in vain, it's a waste of time. But it's not a waste of time. What about the missionary, the ones that are missionary in Saudi Arabia, a missionary for 20 years in Saudi Arabia, and sow their whole life for 20 years, and in 20 years of being missionary, only sees one person saved in 20 years. Now, some of you might say, gee, well, that's a bit of a waste, isn't it? Only one person saved in 20 years in Saudi Arabia. But I tell you what, for that one person that gets saved from that missionary after 20 years of their life sown into that country, that means everything. It means everything for them. For eternity, it matters. It makes a big difference. And everything that we do is of value to God. And God asks us to be obedient. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for obedient hearts. He's looking for people that are going to be obedient. We get so focused on, oh, the result of that. Gee, you know, 20 years and only one person. Some of us think, gee whiz, you could have done this, you could have done that. That person did what they were called to do. They followed obediently to the call of God. And that 20 years of their life may have just been for that one person to get saved. But when you're in eternity and you look back across what we call life here when you're in eternity, you see that little drop in the bucket, this little insignificant splash that we call life in eternity, and we think, well, actually, 20 years is not out of eternity. 20 years is not a lot, is it? 20 years out of forever is really nothing. And so that person who obediently sowed themselves in to see one person saved, that counts. It counts so much in eternity. Everything that we do in the kingdom of God counts. It's not in vain. It's not wasted. Sometimes you're looking for a result of that. Oh, gee whiz, you know, we're doing that. We don't see the result. The result, first result, is you're obedient to what God has called you to do. That's the first thing that God wants, is our obedience. And everything else is his problem. He can sort that out. He wants us to be obedient in what we do, to have a heart that's soft and submissive to him, and to do that. It says in Hebrews 6:10, it says, God is not unjust. He's not unjust. God's not unfair. God's fair. He's a fair God. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. The things that you've done where you've sown in, and you might have think, I'm sowing in and I'm not seeing a lot of it. I'm just going to keep doing this. And it says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. Other people will forget your work. Other people won't acknowledge it, but other people won't understand it. They won't even know what you did. They won't know what the sacrifice that you did. They won't even know the price that you paid. But that's fine. You didn't do it for them. You did it for the Lord. And the one who you did it for is the one who knows. And the one who knows is the one who rewards. And that's why we know our labor is not in vain. It says, God's not unjust. He's not going to forget your work. and the love you have shown him. Remember Matthew 25, where he talks about, well done, you know, earlier on he says about, when I was hungry, you know, they go, when did we feed you? When did you thirsty? When did I give you drink? Whatever you did to the least of these, you did it for me. Amen? And so he'll not forget that. The love that you have shown him, if you have helped his people and have and continue to help him. God's not going to forget it. God is not going to forget it, because what you do matters. What you do counts. And if you're not doing that, remember Ephesians 2:10, that we've created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. The good works, don't leave them undone. The Christian service, don't leave it undone. God called you, and if our heart and temptation is not to be fully in there, if it's on the side and it's in place of compromise and this and that, then get back. Get back on track. Don't let anything move you. Don't let anything move you. Just walk closely with the Lord and have the kingdom values within your heart. Sometimes things take a lot of persistence. You know, if there was a big pile of rocks here on the platform, and praise God, they didn't come across many rocks when they put in the foundations, amen? Pastor John said amen, not big rocks there. But what if there's a giant big rock sitting there? Now, I have to get rid of this rock, and I'm going to break this big rock. Then I get a sledgehammer, and I pick up a sledgehammer. Don't worry, I won't trash your guitar. It's all right, some nervous musicians. But you pick up the sledgehammer, and you whack this big rock. Bang. Clink. Nothing happens. All right, you get it again and go, bang, clink. Nothing happens. And I get it, and I do bang. And I just keep banging this thing. And then after 100 times, bang, nothing there. So I think, okay, forget it, I'm going home. But it just takes one more crack at it. If I had to go on bang, for some reason that 101st crack will come down and bang, and then the thing will just split in half. Anyone looking that saw me do the first crack, think this guy's a superhero. Look at that. He just one hit with his thing and bang, he split it open. Wow. They didn't see the other 100 that went ahead just trying to get in there. And sometimes there's things that you're doing, even when you're reaching out to people. It may feel like that. I've told him about the Lord. I've told him about the love of Christ, and it just doesn't seem, nothing seems to happen. Maybe it's just that one more act of love, that one more time where you sit down and testify about what Jesus has done in life. Maybe that's all it's going to take to see that person coming into the things in the kingdom of God. Maybe that's all that it's going to take. And so I just really encourage us this morning, brothers and sisters, and we're brothers and sisters, stand firm. Don't let anything move you. Let nothing. And it's not, you can't say, oh, it was because of what happened to me and I'm a victim. That means you let. We're never victims. We're always victors. It's within the realm of our control. Whether we're moved or not, it's up to us. And so we say, I'm standing on Jesus Christ. And whatever circumstances push against me and what people do to me and whatever else, I'm not moving. I'm standing on Jesus Christ. And whatever things try to entice me, where the devil just comes a little tempted, oh, look, come on, I'm sorry, you had a hard time. You know, you need the time, mate. I'm not going to be enticed. I'm going to say no. I know whom I believed. I know the kingdom of God, and I'm standing firm. And I'm going to give myself fully, to the service of the Lord. Can we do that? Let's make that decision and say, Lord, I'm not going to compromise on these things. I'm going to give myself fully to the work of the Lord, Christian service and sharing my faith and showing acts of love to others who don't know him. I'm going to do that. And I know my labor is not in vain. There's a reward in heaven for every one of us. Let's stand at our feet. I'd like to pray with us this morning. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, as we come here today. Lord, we just, first of all, are just so grateful for the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, that you died on the cross for us. Lord, that you gave everything for us. And Lord, we are just so grateful that you gave yourself fully and completely for us. We thank you, Lord, that you're always, always there for us, Lord, that you never leave us or forsake us, Father. And Lord, I just pray this day, Lord, as we all look at our own heart and our life, Lord, we're not here to look at anyone else. We're here to look at our own heart. And Lord, if we see that we've moved from that position, whether it's from circumstances and pressures or whether it's from enticements and compromise or whatever it is, Lord, that we know, Lord, that we're not always giving ourselves fully to you, Lord, and to your service or to your kingdom. Father, I pray, Lord, let there be an alignment, a realignment in our hearts right now. And Father, that we'll be ones, Lord, that will stay true, true to you, Lord, true to the calling upon each and every one of our lives, Lord, that's upon each one of us that are here this day. So Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll make that decision this day, Lord, that we're not going to let anything move us. We're not going to make excuses. We're not going to blame someone. Lord, we're going to stand. And Lord, we're going to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for that promise, Lord, that there is that wonderful promise, Lord, that you're not going to forget that, Lord, that you are a rewarder, Lord, that there is reward for us, Lord. We're not doing it because of reward, but Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you see what is unseen. Lord, what we do that others don't even know that we've done, Lord, that you honor that, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that your heart is there for that. And so, Lord, we just give you glory and honor. Father, I pray, if there's anyone that has come here this morning that has not got to the first bracket, hasn't given their life to Jesus Christ, hasn't understood that he died on the cross for their sins, Lord, I pray, Lord, that this day they'll have the courage to come forward and say, I want what Jesus did on the cross to count for me. I want to be in. I want to be part of this family of God. I want to have God in heaven as my Father in heaven. Jesus and my brother, these brothers and sisters in a church family, I want to do that this day. I want my sins to be wiped away. Father, I pray, Lord, that you just stir their hearts, Lord, and they too can move into that promise of resurrection life or the promise of knowing you. But Father, we just thank you for your heart upon us this day. We thank you, Lord, that you're a good God. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of your people, Lord, who serve you wholeheartedly, Lord. Just honor and bless them, Father, Lord. We just thank you for your goodness upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want prayer this morning, I'd love to pray with you. Particularly if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to give your heart to the Lord, just come. I'd love to pray with you. But if in all honesty, you do an assessment of your life and say, yeah, look, I have moved. I've shifted away from the always giving myself fully pardon. And I'm not really standing firm because I've allowed the circumstances of life to push me this way. Then I'm that way and I'm going from here to there. And I'd love to pray with you that the Lord would just touch your heart this day. So let's just worship the Lord as we sing this together. If you need prayer, we'll come for prayer. For those who haven't done the surveys, and you can just finish them off and hand them in before you go. Don't take them home other than the children's ones. But if you want prayer, I'd love to pray with you this morning. Let's just worship the Lord.